Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirayam Karavavahai Tejasvinavati Tamastu Mavirvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 1, Description of the Bhakti Yoga Process, on Anucheda 8, page 25. Srila Prabhupada further elaborates as follows. Here, Sutta Goswami addresses his audience with the words Dvija Shrestaha, O best of the Brahmanas. This indicates they are devotees of Krishna and best of learned scholars. Right, so that's the standard, is that Brahmana is one who is a devotee, scholar, one who then has come to the point of understanding the position of the Supreme Lord, the living entity, their relationship, and surrendering. So that's the understanding how it goes. Better than interpretation would be understanding. No?
Yes.
The law of understanding rather than the law of interpretation. Because it struck me as if you have tradition, traditions understood through Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada is understood through tradition, then it's a well thought out aphorism. You know, it sounds really good. You know, it alights on the ear very pleasantly. You know, the same Prabhupada of tradition and that connection.
Myers.
And
some, huh? Myers don't appreciate it.
Don't appreciate it, okay. But I'm just saying from American point of view, no? Yeah, from that, if you're talking about, you know, left-wing, liberal, middle-class America, then it's great. But the problem is, one of the most fundamental things is it makes Prabhupada and the Vedas relative.
To our condition.
Yeah, but I'm just saying the relative of these means it's a theory of relativity. So in other words, it's a mundane perception. And then through that is then by that then anything in tradition you can find fault in because of how you understand Prabhupada. And things then that Prabhupada said that you don't like, you know, especially when it comes, you can remove those because of tradition. So therefore, it's not based on that there's an absolute truth. And if there's an absolute truth, then how you understand it. Because Anuman, because that's the point where you can call it interpretation, but we don't technically call it interpretation because it's supposed to be a praman. Interpretation just means my opinion. But it's supposed to be a praman, and that can only happen if all the elements of the syllogism are in place. And that they're all based on Shastra. Like that. So the whole point is there's Shastra, like Prabhupada says. You have Guru, Sadhar, and Shastra. They say, oh, they're a thing, they roll, and this and that. But it's actually Prabhupada said, it's Shastra, Shastra, and Shastra. Shastra is Shastra, Guru says Shastra, Sadhar says Shastra. So Shastra is the absolute. So that's the whole point of Mimamsa, right? You have an absolute. Every word of the Veda is absolute. Yeah. And then of that, then we see is then the essence of that is the Bhagavatam, essence of that is Krishna's two Bhagavatam Swayam. So it's a matter of, it's not our interpretation that makes it real. That's also Buddhism. It's that it's real whether we appreciate it or not, whether we understand it or not. But it's a descending knowledge. You know, like Prabhupada gives the example of the sun. You know, someone says, say, you know, like that, well, show me God. You know, and then he'll show, you know, what are your eyes and the imperfection of the eyes and all this. But then it also gives another example that, you know, if it's dark, so he gives the example, if it's dark, he can't see, and then, you know, so many things, how it's not, and so if they can't even see things that are material so nicely, how can you say you're going to see God who's transcendental? But at the same time, he also says it's just like the sun. You can't see the sun whatever you want, it's only when the sun rises on its own. So when Krishna reveals, you'll understand. So this idea that I'll interpret and I'll understand is completely bogus. It's an inductive process which is meant for speculation.
Among the proof of this is that the desire to enforce this on everybody, because this is a material concept.
Yes, because otherwise it would be naturally, it means you discuss it, you preach it, it would be naturally self-revealing. Have they put a thing that devotees can have to accept Prabhupada's books and have to read and things like that? No, these ones aren't there. It's expected. You know, you have to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, why aren't these made? So it's a matter of the aspect of trying to establish.
You could just teach the devotees darshan what tatha.
That's the whole point. It means that's the thing. So it's a matter of There's the absolute, and then there's how much of it you understand. It's not relative. Like, of the understandings of the sixth school, Gotama gives kind of like the most basic. It's how to use logic to understand the knowledge, but it has to be based on Shastra. He doesn't go farther.
That's where the beauty of the word understand comes from, because it means to stand under the authority of something else.
Oh, okay. That's really nice. Okay.
It's not just to, you know, oh, okay, I get it. No, it means to understand. It means you've taken the shelter of the authority.
So we should understand their overstand. Our position of understand should be under their overstand.
In their eyes, yes.
Yes.
They want to be under over.
Understanding Prabhupada according to my opinion, and understanding tradition according to my opinion. That's what it says.
Yeah, yeah. Because then there you're talking about it confirmed by authority. So, because you have the position of that, you know, both are right, you know, that really, you know, seem to be extremely to the left of one particular person, extreme to the right of another person, but the discussion's actually on this, on social, it's on religion, it's not on philosophy. So they're not actually trying to understand the philosophy of Prabhupada said. That's not the point. You know, it's about how to interpret the religious application of Krishna consciousness. And so they both have their position, they both have, you know, everybody's cool, it's everybody's good, you know, so now we're starting to get into new agey hippie stuff. You know. So it's just in other words, after 50 years, the hippies have intellectualized their philosophy.
Predicted by Scott Ramaraj 20 years ago, the whole world would be governed by New Age, global New Age government that would change everything, even the names of the months, the era will be different. The whole concept, the continents will be different.
Era, that's already been presented in the 1960s, you know, in Hare, they already mentioned that. It's the dawning of the age of Aquarius, so then you have to, you never listen to Hare?
Actually, I know it.
See, that's it. You're not in the right wavelength there, you know. So you're missing out on the subtle details.
You're chanting Hare Krishna, so it's okay.
We'll have to let it go on that. Yeah, definitely. So it's the highest vibration, so then that includes the lower vibration, so we should be more broad-minded and not point out things like that. But he is quoting Sahotra Maharaj, who has heard it, so therefore then, in that way, so it's just like this, father says, the child asks the father, what's this? Father says, it's a watch. And now someone else asks, well, so he can decide and say it's a watch, not because it's coming from his authority, because it's coming from his father's authority. So, because he's quoted from Sabata Maharaj, now, therefore, then his statement is authoritative. So, therefore, if we actually want to be, you know, proper, then we have to accept and not throw any shade in his direction. Yes, they haven't heard from authority. Yes, so then it's just a matter of, it makes the religion relative, and then you can interpret it however you want, because there's such an importance on the word interpretation. And even quoting from the modern dictionary, but if that is not in line with the Vedas, what's the point? Because Prabhupada says, he quotes from the modern dictionary, God, the Supreme Person. You see, what? The shadows are trying to get out. Well, there's two hands. There's one up there and one down here. Well, just trying to see whether it's maybe bouncing up or something else. Okay, so. Yeah, because otherwise, the Prabhupada is saying, because the Vedas say he's the Supreme Person, he's Bhagavan. And then when he quotes, he's just showing that it's also in what do you call congruence? Like that. But it's not that the dictionary that, you know, Webster's or Monier Williams or these guys are like the authorities. You know, so you can't take that. You can't say it's like that. So therefore the Mahavakya and their, you know, essential analysis of the word is having some weakness here.
Scary thing is that it aims at the pramada, which is the root of everything.
Yes, it's trying to make it that
the pramada.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so the inductive what do you call it? Anuman is the pramada. And because they're the educated persons, they're the scholars, they're the recognized in the modern world, therefore they're the authority.
So the way I often say it is that we're meant to use scripture to adjust our lives according to our life.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to use
our lives to adjust scripture. Yeah.
So our experiences then adjust how we view judgments, how we do normally.
Yeah. Because if you accommodate both extremes, far right, far left, you know, when you're dealing with especially Varnashram, then if you say they're both right, they both have, then you're basically saying that therefore anything in between is right. So it's just like that, then we just have another jato mat tato pat on religion.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly in philosophy, Krishna's God and we're serving the soul, that won't be so much, but Prabhupada said speculation comes when you don't accept religion. You only have the philosophy, no religion. Then, so that's the whole thing. You take that out and then establish that not only we'll have speculation, but actually speculation is the, how you say, is the message. Yeah, you know, it is the reality.
But then we have to all go back to disagreeing with one another, because Sri Prabhupada pointed out, and I think it was some person in the second chapter was talking about Moonies.
Yeah.
They have to disagree. If they agree, then they're not actually Moonies.
Moonies, yeah, yeah.
And that's how academia works. You know, if you have to have a dissertation that's slightly different than something else that's been there before. Otherwise, it's just plagiarism or, you know, unoriginal.
Okay.
But you also have to defend it to, you know, against others who, you know, have made their own claims. There has to be some discussion.
Uh-huh. Oh, so that's what peers means. So it's if your dissertations, let's say in physics, then it has to have physics doctorates there to review it.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, you know, so to review us, then you have to be, how you say, have a doctor of divinity, no? Yeah. Otherwise they're not peers.
Right. So one scholar can't, basically, by definition, they can't force their opinions on everyone else, because by their own definition, they each have their own unique.
But then that's scholars.
Yeah.
So then what is it when scholars are enforcing it, by policy rather than by merit.
That's what made Jordan Peterson famous. He refused to follow this compelled speech when he spoke out. He became a world famous Chari. So.
very, very interesting.
So that's, he tried to use the absolute authority of the Vedas, the idea of it, because you know we are ultimate of managerial authority, etc., etc. But you try to use this in order to enforce a relative outlook, and especially your idea of it on the rest of society, which is you try to get good things from Vedic, from modern.
You want to get the best of both. You know, it's just like in Varnashram. See, the reason we don't want to follow Varnashram because then we're taking the essence of the whole thing, so we don't need all those forms, because we want to have the freedom and you know, that laxity that we're not fanatic of the Shudras. At the same time, we want all the money and that facility there, but we want to have the managerial, full managerial authority, but at the same time, we want to have that authority of... you know, the Shastra and all the things like that, you know, like that. And we want to have the lack of responsibility in that of the brahmacharis, the freedom of the grihasthas, you know, the kind of not taking part, doesn't have to get involved. At the same time, you have authority of the Vaishyas and then the prestige of the sannyasis, the vanaprasthas and the sannyasis. So if you put that all together into one entity, then that would be the perfection. So then you're saying is that if the Shastra, and we follow Shastra, and so what we say is Shastra, therefore we are Shastra. I kind of think, I'm not sure if it came from Paul, about Jesus as God, or it came later than Paul. It came later, so he wasn't saying.
John wrote firstly that about his divine nature in 324 years. It was a meeting of all churches, and they started to compile the Bible, and it was established that he is a God. His nature is different from other prophets.
But he is a God, and then who's the God?
He was going to take a step down. You can't be more.
Paul only rejected rules of religion.
So he got rid of religion and supposedly kept Jesus' philosophy.
He told that only if we follow. No, he told only if we believe in Jesus Christ, then we will be saved.
Okay, so you don't even have to follow what Jesus says. You just have to believe what he says.
Yes.
So if we believe what Prabhupada, we believe in Prabhupada, you know, like that, and worship him and everybody else as, you know, how you say, pond scum or whatever it is, whatever your particular preferred example of lowest of the low, then you're saved. Not that you have to follow Prabhupada's philosophy, and definitely you're throwing out the religion that Prabhupada gave, the whole culture and all those kind of things. And so, except for those aspects that match with our modern culture. What aspects of morality we as, you know, modern, up-to-date, educated people accept, then what Prabhupada's at, those parts are sacrosanct, but everything else then is relative. So in other words, this has been done before. This is not new.
One Christian historian said that it was a conflict between Paul and the brother of Jesus Christ, Jacob.
He had a brother?
He had a brother who was a son of his father. Not God, but...
Okay, so he was a stepbrother. A different wife.
He was a son of husband of his mother. From first marriage. And his name was Jacob. And he was
wait, he's on the mother's side. He's a brother
from... Not from mother's side, from father's side. He was his elder brother.
Oh, so Joseph was married before his name.
Yes, and he had...
Oh, so that was first marriage, and then this Mary was second marriage.
So Jacob, son of Joseph.
And Jacob was his brother, and he was very strict in all rules. He was the same, but he was like some son, and it was some part of people who strictly followed to our foreign creative principles. And he followed. And after the death, after the death, Anazaria, in Russian we call them Anazaria, I don't know.
The zealots. Was it? I always thought zealots were ones who were pro-Palestine and wanted to separate. They were like, it was a political.
Yeah.
Maybe it's mixed.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Zealots.
Yeah, because you have the zealots.
Zealots generally a fanatic but with a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Is that
yeah, I mean, that's how it's used in English. But but if you look at it from the Roman side, they're fanatics who have a misunderstanding.
Right.
And since Paul was into being Roman, then he would naturally look at their position as a misunderstanding.
And his brother, after the death of Jesus Christ, he saw a dream. Jesus came to him and he told that you will run of my people.
Okay.
But
Paul had a different
idea. He was
leader
of church in Jerusalem.
Okay.
He was a leader. But Paul, he went out to Rome and started to preach there. And finally, they got two big groups. Jewish Christians guided by Jacob. And
The Jews for Jesus. So he was the original Jews for Jesus.
And when he started to preach outside of Jerusalem, he told that it's not necessary to follow to the Moses rules. You just need to believe in
Jesus.
Jesus, yes. And they accepted very
so the more you hear it, the more it's exactly what's going on. Yes.
It was very it was very popular in Christian in Roman world. It became very popular in religion. But it was
because who wants to be Jewish? I mean, you're the high grade, you know, descended from the heavens. Roman? Why would you want to lower yourself to the, you know, poor, miserable Jewish position who is, you know, controlled and under the foot of Rome?
This point became very.
You know what I'm saying? So same way, why would the first world want to lower itself to, you know, being under and following a culture of some low-class savages like India? I mean, that was the British's definition of anyone other than themselves as savages. Of course, they couldn't get away with it with the French and German, but that's how they thought. So they only just put it on those who were outside, who were not of, you know, first world Europe.
Because of this point, 300 years...
It's so amazing how it's exactly the same. You know?
Yes. Scary.
It's scary. Yeah. That's the modes of nature. It's Krishna's law. It just happens. You're going to go down this path. This is the signs you'll see.
After 300 years after Jesus Christ, when King Constantine he accepted Christianity as a state religion of Roman Empire, he decided to divide Christianity from Jewish religion because before it considered it the same. And the main problem for him was that in Jewish tradition, you should be Jewish by birth, and otherwise all people should lower them because they are not descendants of Abraham. And that's why he didn't want to be under the guidance of Judea, and he told that our religion is separate from Judaism because Jesus Christ is not like a previous prophet. He is a son of the God. And he established this doctrine that he is the son of the God.
Okay, so it's a new Sampradaya.
Yes, it's a new Sampradaya.
Okay. And what was the technical point? Why he didn't want to follow the Judaic? It means you have to be born Jewish, but you can also, you can accept it, take it up.
But even if you accept, you will not be equal completely.
Caste correspondence.
Oh, okay. So that's why they don't preach, just like the smugglers don't preach, because they're already born.
And second point, because he didn't want to follow
to
the rules.
Well, that's the main point. I mean, prestige and doesn't want to follow the rules. Isn't it? Everything's about prestige and not wanting to follow the rules. It's like the modes are always the same. Doesn't matter. That is so far out.
Interesting thing I was thinking of when you were saying how each of us wants the best of each of the varnas and ashramas within ourselves. So it means we understand the value of each of those things.
Yeah, that's a very
good point. But we don't want to cooperate with the society. We want it all in one
person. We want it ourselves. But we accept, but we don't accept the duties that
so
go with it.
We like
we
it.
Want the
like
rights, but not the obligation.
Yeah, we like it and we understand the necessity of it. We just don't want to, you know, put ourselves in one of those, and we want all of it. So the conclusion is then that you do implement it and you work together because you know that it's all important.
Because then you get the benefit of the whole thing by playing your part.
Exactly. But they don't want to do that part.
You know, like everybody wants to cook the pakoras or something. No, someone else can cook the rice. No, but that's lower class. We all want the prestige of rice. Who says, wow, this is... Have you ever heard of Sunday feast? Wow, I love the rice, you know, like that. You know, it's so nice and so... No, they say, oh, the pakoras nice, sweet's nice, the substance is here is nice. This is...
Maharaj also was reading one interesting point for us as the Vaishnavas from history. It was some very famous, most famous rabbi in Jewish religion. His name was Akiva.
And he, Akiva.
Akiva, yes. He was a pure devotee.
But, I mean, that at what century?
He was in the first century.
First century, okay. So just...
And he explained that God is the person, he has a form, and he main goal of the human life is to get a love with him.
Really?
And one day the Roman Empire, I forgot his name, he asked him why Christianity became so popular in my empire. And he told him interesting point. He told that because people very tired to have Roman gods who are very far from them. But the idea of Jesus that he is a God with whom they can live, love with him and interact with him. And that's why because people very miss such idea of God. They joined to Christianity very quickly. And it's very similar to our idea that we want to live with Krishna.
Yeah. That's okay. All right. Should we start over again?
Let's play again.
We didn't start it.
Did we? No. Continue. Okay.
Be a separate.
Dangerous thing. Okay.
We did read a sentence.
Yeah, we did read a sentence. O best of the Brahmanas. Yeah, it means this indicates that they are devotees of Krishna and the best of learned scholars. In this age, everyone is born a Shudra, a fourth-class man. A janmana jayate shudraha. By reformatory practices, one can become a third-class man. Samskarad bhavet dvijaha. By cultivation of knowledge and culture, one becomes a second-class man. A vipra. Vedapata bhaved vipraha. But only one who knows Brahman is the first class man. A Brahmana. Brahma janati brahmana. And because the sages at Naimisharani are the best of the Brahmanas, they know not only Brahman, but Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's very interesting. It's very far. Born a fourth class man because they don't know anything, then by going through the samskars, then they become third class, means a dvija, then second class by becoming a vipra, having knowledge, and then first class by becoming a brahmana who knows Brahman. But then beyond that is the devotees who know
Bhagavan.
Bhagavan. That's really interesting.
Also, Maharaj stresses the importance of having that right attitude, the samskara. If you don't have a proper samskara, then you'll only misuse, no matter how much knowledge and culture we are exposed to, you only misuse to the shudraic activities. Samskara is nothing but having the right attitude and spirit to accept things as they are.
Yeah, that one aspect where this yes. Not sure where the story comes from. Probably told it or not. About in Kashmir, one day there was this big group of people. They're all grouped around, so then this one person, I'm not sure his background, but you get the idea it wasn't common. And he came along, you know, may have been a, you know, from a wrong background, he came along to see what's happening. So it happens, a cow had somehow or another got its horns stuck in the gate. You know the story? He got the horns cut and stuck in the gate. So then everybody's trying different ways to get the cow out of the gate, you know, the whatever is the gate, must have been iron, something. And they can't. So then this person comes along and says, well, why don't you cut the horns and they can get the cow out? You know? So everyone's, you know, upset, you know? I can make the suggestion. He goes back to the king. King finds out who the person is and then calls the mother. He says, you know, why does your son think like this? Because he's taking it, just getting the cow out of the gate, so that getting done is the important thing, rather than protecting the cow if you have to, you know, open the, dismantle part of the gate to get, no, you dismantle the cow to get the gate. It's just a matter of removing it. So why does he think like this? Because this thought is not of a dvija, it's an art. This is just mechanical. You know, and not for the benefit of the cow. It means he got out of the gate, but and then afterwards, and you spend the rest of your life, you know, without horns. So then she was thinking about it, and then she remembered that there was something, I think it was when, either it was before being born or before conception, that she had seen a butcher walk by. And that stuck in her mind, because she was really disturbed by that. And so then that, you know, some scar went into the child. You know, I think it was when she got up in the morning. Yeah, something was some kind of thing like that connected with the conception or something. So then the king made a decree that all the women should wear this little ring that has a mirror on it. Like that. I mean, it's a mundane solution, but that the first thing they do when they get up is look in the mirror. Right, so they've seen something auspicious first before they see anything else, rather than they wake up and see something inauspicious. So it's a tradition in some part there in Kashmir and Jammu or something like that, that everybody wears that ring, the girls wear that ring. But that's the point, is the samskar. There's this bad samskar that even though the person gets the idea that they may have been a Brahmin, you know, because otherwise the story about Kashmir is not about the Kashmir Brahmins, why, you know. You know, you wouldn't do that. Dhaka waits at that in Bihar, or, you know, some of the politicians in Bengal, or truck drivers in Punjab, right? You know, but the samskar then creates a thing. So this point of the lack of samskar then creates the inappropriate view.
So he was using knowledge, but he wasn't understanding the religion.
No, he wasn't understanding what was important.
You need to go first class now.
Oh, Monday still. Okay. Okay. Pandava?
Oh.
Oops. Sorry, say that again. Oh, he was saying. Who was saying?
I finished. It was just that, I was trying to connect it also then to Sambandha, because sometimes we just think Sambandha is knowledge, and then we try to get to a goal based on an effort, but if we don't understand the relationship, then there's no way it can actually happen, because we can't have a proper goal without understanding the proper relationship.
Yes, you have to have a relationship and an identity. So that's the difficulty. The identity is that of a scholar, or that of a senior devotee, or, you know, whatever it is, any of these upadis, even though they may be very pious upadis, but they're still upadis, they still have to be given up. And so you can't have the ultimate view of that. You may get involved in that, but when you're dealing with the secondary aspects of devotional service, that, you know, you have to, they're your tools, you have to be able to identify the tools, what kind of body, mind, and words you have. Therefore, how can they function in the particular situation? So in the situation in which they naturally would function, you know, there's a relationship with that field, and the identity matches that, and the activity you are able to do, then you can put that together and then get results for Krishna. But if it's a field that you don't have the nature for, or you don't have a relationship with, does that make sense? You know, it's just like, let's say, the brahmachari. He's a kshatriya. Right? But as a brahmachari, it's not his business to do kshatriya stuff. He may have the nature, but his position, identity, then for us is there as brahmachari. Therefore, he just does brahmachari stuff. You know, then he's going out begging. Right? But when he graduates and takes up the duties of a kshatriya, he never begs anymore. He never begs. That's why even amongst the kshatriyas, the rakshasa marriage is considered good. You know, it's not the ultimate aspect, but it's a part of it that he took the girl. He wasn't given the girl. Because Brahma marriage means he's given the girl in charity. So therefore that aspect, no, he took the girl on his own strength. Then after, you know, then the families, you know, work it all out, and they go back, and then they have the Brahma, they do the Brahma rite where, you know, everything goes on naturally, and the father comes out, and the kanya don, and everything like that. Does that make sense? So there's that sense that they just don't beg. You know, and even with the things, you know, we're not begging for these villages, we're kshatriyas, you should give us these villages so we can do our duty. They weren't begging. You know, and that was the thing, is that the arrows, yes, exactly. When Yudhishthir went to Duryodhana, like that, he thought, oh, he's coming back. And he says, I'll give you whatever you want. He says, if you just ask me, you know, just, you know, please give this. He says, even the war now, stop the war, whatever you want. You want to keep, you can have anything. And it's just, he got Yudhishthir to beg it from him. So therefore, Yudhishthir is the king, yes. He may be the emperor, yes, but I gave it to him. So I'm the senior. You know, so then, that was the thing. He just wanted that you beg. You know, which is against the kshatriya thing, so that puts him in the superior position.
It's funny, in this modern environment, people don't mind begging, doing anything. It takes that much just to... Oh, people will be so happy to comply
with
all these things.
Yeah. I mean, can't remember who explained it to me. But about the phrase, laughing all the way to the bank, they were pointing out that you have something that, I mean, they were putting it in the context that you have something that is not very prestigious to do. So a cultured person won't do it, but he doesn't get the benefit. Well, the Vaishya will do that. He'll humble himself and demean himself, but as soon as he's got it, he's laughing all the way back, because now he's rich. And this other guy, you know, who's so cultured and so refined, he's poor. So at the bottom of at the end of the day, who's won? He's one. So that, you know, he has the money, he has the influence, he has the enjoyment, while this other guy doesn't have anything.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, there may be other ways to use it, but from what I mean, I remember as a kid, it was used like that, is that, you know, you could do anything as long as you got the result, and then you're laughing. The other guys are not, you know. So say, criticize what you want, say what you want, but hey, but you know, we, you know. You know what I'm saying? As he lights a cigar with a $100 note, right?
I was just thinking when you were talking about the Kshatriyas when they took over a village, they weren't asking. But then, you know, they were giving protection. In other words, they were absorbing it into their empire, and then, you know, they would give them...
It's part of their empire, so it still has a hierarchy.
Right.
But you're not begging.
Right, right. So I was thinking that the perverted reflection of that is, you know, the mafia mentality where they say they're giving you protection, like, but they're protecting you from them. Basically, if you pay up, we won't kill you.
But at the same time, as they will keep any other you know, criminals from bothering you.
Yeah, yeah.
It means if some guys came in and bothered you, you can just tell them, and that guy will.
That's true.
Cease to be part of the gene pool.
But yeah, so. Yeah, America, for that example, where we go in other countries and,
yeah. Yeah. It's just that's the thing of the dawn. The dawn is, in other words, since rather than have every little, you know, small-time petty thief come and harass you, you'll pay off one, the biggest thief, and then it's just a one shot. You know what it is. The other thing, you don't know. They'll just keep coming and coming. There's no end. They're so greedy. But this guy, you know, okay, every month I give him this. You know, it shows some respect. You know, if he comes walking along, you have a shop, you come out and bring something nice to him. You're like that. You're in good books. And then you pay your regular thing when he sends his men. And so but it's a business. That's the funny thing. It's a business, not a...
Yeah.
It's presented... They are protecting, but it's more about the business rather than it's more about the protection. And this is so you can see is also the quality of how low they keep it.
Yeah, they sell it as protection, but it's actually just profit.
Profit, yeah. But if it means you'll see once where it's more about the profit, they'll charge more and exploit... Then it's more towards the Vaishyam. But if it's more, they keep it reasonable. They want to see they're happy to see the people prosperous, but they are going to be prosperous in the process.
Yeah. So they have one aspect of the Kshatriya because they're actually building their empire, they're expanding it. That's what Kshatriyas do, but they just don't have that actual idea of true protection.
No, that's because there's the lack of samskar.
Right.
You know, that's the thing, it's a lack of samskar.
Because even when you were saying that the brahmachari, even if they're kshatriya, they're still doing brahmachari things like begging.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll also notice that by nature, since they're protective of others, if they see any one of the other brahmacharis being, you know...
Yeah, they would probably step up and tell them like that. That you can't get rid of, but still their duties are that of a brahmachari, not of a kshatriya. So therefore they can beg. But even though you know it, they even say the mantra different.
Right.
It means you have... The mantra is Bhavati. What is it? Yeah, Bhavati Bhiksham Dehi. So Bhavati means, oh, respected lady. Bhiksham is alms. Dehi, please give. So that's what the Brahmin will say. The Kshatriya will say, what do you call it? Bhiksham. No, he'll say Bhiksham Bhavati Dehi. You know, so he'll say, I come for Bhiksha, O respected woman, please give. Because it's about the duty.
Yeah.
The Brahma is about the respect.
Yeah.
You know, for that, the person, like that. The Vaishya will say Dehi, you know, Bhiksha Bhavati. You know, like that. The word switch. How you say give, because the most important thing for them is the profit.
Mm-hmm. The thing in the last introspect.
Yeah, or even if they say Dehi Bhavati Bhiksham, you know, whatever it is, but the point is they say the word that's most important to them first. Yes.
Maharaj, may I ask you about nature, conditional nature of children? We have one boy in our school, and he always playing computer games in the time lesson. And we met together with the teachers and discussed his nature, and we understood, we read his essays, we understood that he is shooter by nature. And when he met with him and his mother, we asked him first, why do you play in computer games? And he told, because it's boring and I can't listen. And he started to cry. And we are teachers women teachers, not just we, talk with him very softly. We try to understand how we can help him, but Prabhu teacher, he told that after our meeting, he told us that he is a boy, and that's why we need just to be very hard with him and to beat him or something like that. It was discussion that we were, because if he is children, we should interact with him like he is young, soft, or if he is a boy but children, we need.
No, but the thing is he's a student, so he has the duties of a student. The stories of a student are to learn, not to play games. So if the reason is because he's bored, then you have to see why he's bored. Right? Is he bored in the class because the teaching method or something, or he doesn't feel involved? Means the teaching method, on how you're presenting it or how you involve the students. Or is it because he doesn't like the subject matter? It doesn't mean anything to him? So you have to see, does he do that in every subject or only in certain subjects? In every subject. Okay. And is there anything that he does where he pays attention?
Yes, he likes to make videos.
Okay.
He doesn't understand the value of it.
Yeah, so for them it's not there. So then that would be the thing, is then you have to then... That it depends upon your abilities and all that. Then you put a focus on him learning that. But the point is he's going to do a video. Okay? Okay. Now, in this video, is he just a cinematographer? He just runs the camera and that's it? Or he's doing something more?
He wants just to do his technical point.
Okay. So then he has to know enough English and enough math, because if he's doing that, then everything's going by numbers and this. He has to know enough to be able to. So you have to present his language and his math and his general knowledge in the context of the technical point. Does that make sense? If you have that capacity.
Okay,
I'm just saying, yeah. The point is you just get. But I'm saying is he'll have to learn some language, because even if you're a cinematographer, it's doubtful that the cinematographers that are out there are uneducated, unless they're just so outstanding that nobody even asks. Like that. Somebody says this and that, and he just kind of grunts at them, and everyone kind of looks at him. That's the way he is. What to do? He's the best. When you're dealing with this, it has to be, you're explaining to him what has to be done and try to make it very, very personal on the emotional level. Because they only respond to emotions. Kids with the Vaishnava nature, they respond to the profit they'll get from it. This subject, in the future, you'll get this benefit. You can do this. So you have to point out to them what benefit they'll get. Kshatriya nature, you have to point out how it's the duty, it's necessary, it's the rule, the importance of it that way. And the Brahman, just how it's important in the context of knowledge, how this knowledge can, with others, how it'll be, how they connect together. That's general. And so with the Brahminical, you just have to explain it. The Kshatriya, you have to explain it and point out the religious aspect. The Vaishya then means it has to have a bit of the, personal, but it doesn't need so much. It means just about them, but it's about the prophet. And the Shudra, it needs to be about them.
Maharaj, attached means if, for example, a child is a Vaishya, you can say him, if you learn philosophy, you can then teach him and get money.
No, no, you don't have to take it that far. Profit means they get a benefit. You know, it's like if you know this, then you know who you are, you'll be able to do this, and others, you can teach others, you'll be respected in society, you know, as a learned person who knows the absolute. And some way, you don't have to bring it all the way back to money. That's not good.
A friend of mine, he told me that his father, he's a devotee to Prabhupada disciple, and he, when he was a kid, he told him, if you learn, I forgot, like 100 verses from Gita, I'll give you like very decent amount of money. Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah.
So that's how it worked with him.
Yeah, and it works, and they learn so much. Yeah, and then they learn all these things, but at the same time, that's just how it works, you know. So that's the thing, is that if you're down on that level, parents should be dealing more on this kind of thing. Ideally, teachers don't have to deal so much with that.
Yeah.
You know, it should be more controlled, you know, because the point is ultimately the education, if they can't control their senses, they can't be a good businessman. You will not make money if you can't control your senses, no question. Because the point is as you're making money and there's profit coming, if you're siphoning it off, where will the profit be? So in other words, they have to control their senses, their greed, that they want to grab it now and wait till it grows big enough that, you know, there's enough they can reinvest, you know, they can pay all their bills and all that, and there's left over for, you know, their benefit.
Maharaj, they have these exercises, experiments with small children. They tell them, we don't give you one chocolate, you can eat it now, but if you wait for 30 minutes, you can have two chocolates. So they video them how they are. So the children just sit and look at the chocolate. Some of them, they are tired, so they don't look, don't see. Some of them just stuck in their mind, just cannot wait for 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah. So okay, yeah. So that's very far out.
Because they figure they'll eat it now, and then whoever waits 30 minutes, they'll have two, and he'll be able to steal one there.
Yeah, or even better yet, is the guy goes, if I leave it here, after the teacher goes, and he leaves it, says, okay, kids, if you leave it there, there's a chance you'll eat it. And you would want to have two rather than one. Right? So therefore, give them all to me, I'll keep them, no one will eat them. But then afterwards, when you all get your second one, you give us a portion. You know, or some benefit, or, you know, he's the leader and this and that.
I have one more question about children. I worry a little bit about the correct way how I interact with my son, because his teacher, he said that if he's not strict with boy, he will be spoiled. And I never was strict with my son, but I explained him all the time.
No, but the point is, strict just means that they don't just get away with it. You're going to explain it to them. Strict doesn't mean you have to beat them. That's not the... Like, if you look up in the dictionary, strict, I don't think that's the first definition. Strict just means this is what has to be done. So then you explain why it has to be done. You know, because Prabhupada would show the stick, but you don't use it. You know, like that. It's that they know that there's some reaction, but it doesn't have to be there. It's just there to make them conscious. So explaining to them and going through, but you have to also, in explaining, see that they understand. The drishtanta has to be there. The value has to be there and bring it up. And so you're going to bring it up, something's gone wrong, then at the right time you're going to talk about it, you know, either immediately or after. But then also after some time, then you also bring it up and discuss about it. So it's not about them being wrong, just what's the benefit of it, why we do these things, what's the purpose, you know. Does that make sense? So it's a regular thing, especially if you see it's a certain area. So then that area you target, that you're going to, you know, bring that up more in the context of your life. You know, you're going around, you see things and that, and You know, you see somebody over there and they're riding the bicycle and they get hit by a truck, and says, that's what happens when you don't do what you're supposed to do. So if you stopped at the light, you wouldn't have got run over by the truck. You know, if the guy running the truck, you know, hadn't dealt properly with his wife, he would be so grumpy that he went through the red light. You know, it's just, you know, it means you just have all these things you can bring up to.
Child is not able to understand everything from the point of view of devotional service or from the point of renunciation, and we explain him from religious point, can it be harmful for him because you don't know?
No, it means you start with, you say the regular things, but you keep going until you find that it catches. It's not that, okay, he doesn't understand the philosophical, so you don't say it. You just say it very exactly. You know? Things like that. But you may talk about the different religious aspects like that and the different benefits that they may get from karma.
So in that case, is it like what we were studying in the Nyaya, that it's, you use the lower ones, but they always have to be connected back to the Brahma?
Yes, it always has to be brought back. It always has to be brought back.
He started to study from Prabhu and he immediately catched the difference. He told me in Bhaktivedanta Academy, I always listened that everything should be done for Krishna's pleasure, not for our good karma. And,
yes, so then you can mention that, how much works. You know, but talk however you're talking, but mention this point. So that, because it's one focal point, no matter what detail, they all point at Krishna. Difficulty comes up, there's such a wide variety of detail that people become confused and they argue over things with each other, and that's where all the fights come in. But the point, the central point, is the same. Krishna is the center of all relationships. So that means everything has to be seen in that. So that means He's the Supreme Person, you know, and every living entity is connected, all his energies are connected, all identities are connected, all that action is for getting results for Krishna, you know, for the results for pleasing Krishna. There's nothing else. The Prabhu says, understanding the relationships, acting that relationships, and then, you know, then having the result of that, developing that love for Krishna. So you just have to start explaining those things. And then you just see which area goes more. I remember having boys you talk to. Whatever you say, they don't understand. And you try a different angle. I remember one kid, you'd have to use about 6 different angles before one would stick. It'd take like 45 minutes. So when you're dealing with boys, that's a long time. You could say, oh, but that's not so long. With adults, that's not so long. But with kids, that's a long time, because generally any philosophical point, any religious point, even if it's very technical, maximum it takes 5 minutes to explain. Maximum. You know, it's like you're discussing something in Varnashram. It's a 5-minute discussion, if not less. With adults, it might be a 2-week discussion because of all of their, you know, attachments and misgivings and all these different things. But the kids, they don't, it's just, okay, that's what it is. Okay, great. You know, some points of doubt, and they don't understand, you know, I say logically how it fits or something, you explain that and they're done. So if you have to spend 45 minutes talking to a kid before they understand, that's a long time. And one kid, it was an hour and a half. That was tough. But then the next time, sit down, you kind of think, okay, it works there, you start again. Because he still doesn't understand it. And 45 minutes. You know, and then eventually it comes down to half an hour, then 20 minutes, and then this, and then... Remember one kid, it took 6 weeks. He could not understand why he should sweep. He's in the school to study, not to sweep. So it just, whatever, it didn't matter. But after 6 weeks of every day sitting with him, and talking and explaining, and that, after 6 weeks he understood it. Because it was a matter of duty. He thought it's not his duty. Because he had kind of a kshatriya nature. Once he was convinced that it's part of the duty, part of the process, then he was the best. He was really fixed in it. But you also, that's the teacher has to see which students they can work with. You know.
So that's the way to explain when they don't want to do what they're supposed to do, to explain. Yes, that's how.
Yeah, you just have to explain it from all the different angles of what it's doing, what the benefits are, why it's there, you know, why it's there in the tradition, why menial service. Because generally you see is that the obligations that you have are always in the areas of weakness. Like a brahmachari, he has no responsibility, because we see modernized Prabhupada quotes from that one economist. That or sociologist or something, that the reason the modern economy goes on is because of attachment. Right? Because the whole thing is that when you're attached, it will go on. You know, it's just like if the guys, they generally, it's just like in the modern education, this started some time back, that you are educated at least until you're like 18. Like that, then you can go to college, but at least till 18. Because generally by 18, then boys and girls have, you know, made some relationship. So then he'll work, he'll be steady. But he could do that job when he's 12. You know, you have this work at a factory or anything like that. A 12-year-old can basically do anything that most things are going on in the world today. You know, some very specialized, let's say, like how you say, neural brain surgeon, okay, that the 12-year-old couldn't do. You know, he might have to wait till he's, you know, 14 or something. But whatever, he can't do, but most everything else that people do, he could do. Right? But he won't be regular. When he feels like he'll go, if he needs some money, you know, he wants to buy a new bicycle or get a new phone, then he'll go and work. Once he has it, he won't take it seriously. Right? So the brahmachari, because he has no responsibility like that, then he'll tend to be lazy. And he'll tend to be proud, because when he's at home, he's the king, he's the prince. Right? I think the Chinese would call it, because they want one kid called the little prince. Like that, because he's the center of attention. At the school, he's not the center of attention. That freaks a lot of kids out. Many kids wouldn't last at the school because they couldn't make that change from being the center of attention to being one of the boys. And so then, that being the center of attention, then they have to give it up. So that means, then, what is that? In one phrase, Prabhupada summarizes brahmachari as menial servant. So that addresses both. He's a servant, so he has to work. Menial, it's not prestigious. That's actually the position, because if you have that, you can say, no, he's a student, but if he doesn't have that, he can't actually be a student. Because if you look at the modern system, how many people learn? The guys with the 4-point average, that's not just happening on their own. That's happening because the parents are pushing. But from the school, from the state level, who excels? There's nothing to excel in. You know? You say 70% of what you learn during the year. Because you start in September and end in May. But in May, you've forgotten 70% of what you learned over those whatever it is, 9 months. That's not a very efficient system. You know? So it's like, you know, our boys, they learn the mantras. They don't forget the mantras. You know, it's just, you don't forget. It's not like he knows 70%. No, he knows the mantras. So it's, you know, the puja, you know the puja, you don't, you know, it's not an efficient system. So because they don't do service. Well, you see, like, Japanese are famous for being the best in their educational field. I think they're always in the top 5 in the world of best education. But their school day is 8 hours. Everywhere else is generally 6. Some are 7. But theirs is 8 or 9, something like that. 2 hours is spent doing service in the school. There's no janitors. The kids clean the bathrooms, clean the hallways, clean everything, do all that kind of stuff. The kids do that as part of the process. It's not that they're trying to save money. It's part of the process. They don't do 2 hours of service. That 6 hours they won't learn. And you see they have respect for authority. They take their knowledge very seriously. They work very hard because it's part of the system. You know, so therefore, because they do menial servant, therefore they're students. They don't do menial servant, they're no students. Where are they? Where are these students? Yes.
In online school, all different results. Maybe some videos are still not the same.
Sorry?
In online school, how they can do some service? If they will do some videos, you can.
That's the thing is, then that's what the parents have to be taking care of. Point is somebody has to take care of it. The parents that are at home, they do work and all that, then they'll be good students. Mm-hmm. But what I'm meaning is that the modern states, Western education, state schools, there won't be anything there. Where it's not going to produce any excellence. There'll be an individual, but that's because the parents generally push. And rare you get that kid, but that's the kid that you study, you know, the story in fifth grade about the kid. You know, the black kid, you know, a poor neighborhood, grew up like this and that, and then all this, and then he sees, you know, the social injustice, and he goes out there, he becomes the PhD, and then he's going around and doing that. But it's one story. Right? You didn't study that kid? Hmm. So who did you study?
That kid grew up to be. I don't know
his backstory. Oh, okay. But you didn't have those. We always had. There's a couple of those.
Who did he end up becoming?
I don't remember. It's one of those things. It's his fifth grade. Who remembers? It's like, but I think it's because the West Coast tends to be more kind of that liberal, so they're trying to show equality and all that.
Right. I mean, you know, we've had examples like that. That specific one doesn't ring a bell.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying, there's always going to be something like that. But he stands out from the crowd because he on his own got it together.
Right.
But like you see, the private schools. Means that's the American private. Private means what in England they call public schools. Like that, because that's for the public, and then I don't know what the state schools are for. So then it's all built in. The whole thing, the hierarchy, all these different things you have to do. You have to take care. You have service. Like that. It's part of the scene. Like the British boarding schools, you have groups. You as you move up, you're in control of something. You come in the first year, you're controlled by others. But after that, then you have one kid that you're in charge of. You know, as time goes, then you have more. You know, but there's always somebody above you. He's in charge of you, you're in charge of these. You know, he's in charge of a few like that. So it's like, does that make sense? And they do work. They take care of this and take care of that and, you know, clean the field and, you know, do all the stuff. So then they get an effect that the state schools don't get.
It's interesting that this idea of menial servant.
Service.
Thank you. I lose words all the time.
Well, they're menial servant. They are a menial servant. They're doing menial service.
So it's interesting how understanding the value of menial service, you actually can't be successful in any other sphere of life if you don't have that at some point.
No.
Because you're always going to be serving someone, whether it's a spouse or you know, a boss or, you know,
a
guru. How do you approach them properly, otherwise if you approach them all proud and you know, you're not going to actually get the knowledge,
it's
going to be challenging.
Yeah.
So yeah, if it's not there, then you can't be successful. So,
no, it's a basis. All the ashrams are based on brahmacharya. These are the way of, not if you have that service attitude, then you can go up to, you can do all four. But the main point is how the perfection of the Brahman, as Prabhupada explains, is the Vaishnava. But that's because they're servant of Guru and Krishna, the Vaishnavas. So that's what makes them. While the Brahmins, then they'll see them up to a certain point, they don't see it as far. So the farther you see that, the better. That's the basis. You know, as far as the character, that is consistent.
I've seen sometimes devotees join, and that's why we're brahmacharis, but for some reason they don't actually go. They don't undergo this training, this meaning service. So they, for different reasons, they just, after a few years, they put on some high position. They just give lectures, they come. Be a counselor of somebody, or you know, they never went, they never served prasadam, they never cleaned the
toilet.
So then you see people later that this catches up with them.
It does. Because you can't get, they won't get past the middle. They may have moved up and giving class and this and that, but with time, all the guys that did do that, they'll be going up and going higher. Because that's the thing. It's just like you do your MBA, you'll be a middle manager. You'll never be the CEO. You know, you'll never go up. Middle managers will stay middle managers their whole life. Well, the CEO is the guy who started at the bottom. You know, unless it was family business. But if it wasn't family business, they all started at the bottom and worked their way up. That's just the way it works. Yes, it'll catch up with them at some point, because then they'll pride this, that, and they won't be able to serve.
Even if they're family, they'll have to catch up.
Yeah, because if you can't serve, you can't function. It just means service. It just means more service.
That example of the kid that said, "Well, no, I'm here to go to school, not here to sleep."
Yeah.
I can imagine him in the future if you maintain that mentality. When the wife asks him to do something, no, I'm here to do this, not to do that. You're caught up in that relationship.
I actually saw a friend of mine, you know, he was a family person. And then his wife came and she was not satisfied by something that needed to be done according to her. And his reaction was exactly that.
Yeah.
It's not our service.
It doesn't work.
And this relationship didn't last a few months. And
as if he doesn't have a service attitude. His point is that he has a service attitude, she'll have a service attitude. It's a thing. You know, it's obviously not a woman's got to follow a man. But if you say she's got to follow, okay, great. But
following
is, she's following example of you following. So if you're surrendered and following and serving above you, you know, Guru Krishna, then that'll be there. Or
but if your example is that you're not following, then
yeah, that's true. Also, yeah, to follow that. It's just, I've always seen is that when someone comes and says, you know, this one, wipe this, wipe that, and then you talk to the wife, then it's always, you can see it, it's coming from them. Always.
Some years back, I was in the Radovish giving the Bible class, and then the verse was a very sensitive topic about falling, woman falling, and so I was in the class with quoting humor, it's nice that the wife follows, but the husband has to go somewhere. So all the ladies there, they know I'm coming here for this, and they probably got this impression that I'm going to trash them, you know.
Tell them their duty and stuff.
And they were so happy to hear, and the whole lecture, and then after the lecture, they were coming up to me and they were like, really happy about it.
Someone finally said it.
And then the men were like, come on, man.
Yeah, give us a break, you know, why it's always about us. You know, like yes. Speaking of
heart, have we gone?
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Jai.